We'll just read verse 7. Got me, brothers. Doesn't sound like I'm on here. Yeah? All right. Amen. I'd like to speak to you here this morning and teach on this subject that the Lord put upon my heart for the brothers yesterday in the breakfast. And so we're going to just carry that, amen, this morning, do a little bit more teaching on it. You could go ahead and display that, Brother Joe, that title slide. I would like to speak to you on Vexed by Sodom, and I've subtitled this Clean in a Dirty Age. 2 Peter chapter 2, let's just begin reading here at verse 5, speaking of Noah. Spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood. Brothers, you might want to check the headphones, Brother Matthew, because I don't think I'm on here. So you might want to turn me on here. It's not on at all up here. So let's continue here. Verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Notice this verse 7. This is where we want to draw our emphasis here. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul. There we go. Now we got power. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You can be seated this morning. Luke chapter 17, turn there in your Bible with me. Brother Joe, you got that PowerPoint? So we'd like to have that up. We're going to use that here just right away as soon as we can get it. Luke chapter 17 is a very familiar scripture to us, and I just want to draw some emphasis from it today, and particularly verse 30, but let's start here at verse 28. It says, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And we know that that's the day and age that you and I are living in. And I believe that it's very just a picture perfect description of the age that you're living in today. We are truly in the days of Lot again. And a lot of times when we think of Lot, we think the days of Sodom, we think of Sodom, we think of homosexuality. And that's a significance there for sure. But really, Sodom was a city that was overflowing with evil. It was depictive of more than just a homosexual agenda, but a wicked age, a wicked world, amen, a wicked time to live in. And the Bible says that the sins of Sodom were so great that God's wrath poured out upon Sodom, and he destroyed it by fire and brimstone. And so, you know, I think there's a lot that could be said here today. We wanted to teach on this just here for a moment, particularly Lot. But we know that the Bible calls Lot a righteous man. I'm going to need that PowerPoint, brothers. As soon as you can display it, we're going to need it. I don't know if this is on. Maybe the screen's not on. But we know that the Bible calls Lot a just man. You can see it here in 2 Peter. I want you to keep your Bible, especially since they don't have it there on the screen yet. Just bring up 2 Peter chapter 2 and keep your place there. It's amazing because what's clear when you think of the world that you live in today is the world is falling apart. And I believe that that is a statement that Brother Jason Amars made that's meant so much to us, and we've repeated it many times, is that you're living in a diseased world. And, you know, when Brother Jason said that, he said, you're living in a diseased world, and you've got to remember, you're walking and living, working, learning amongst diseased people. Yeah. Now, we know that disease we're talking about is a sin disease. And so your children go to school amongst in a diseased atmosphere where an education system has shifted and turned their backs on God and teaches, especially in the public school curriculum, teaches against God and gives a very secular psychology to children. And so it's a world that's fallen apart, very much like Sodom was falling apart. We could say today this world's fallen apart, no question. And so the generation that we live in is becoming vile and more vile by the day. And I think that it's a world that's losing their faith in God. As we just pointed out, God has been put out. And you know, we could see it here in South Carolina. And let me just tell you today that you're living in what's known as the Bible Belt. You're living in a conservative state with a conservative governor, you know, and even with that, you know, Buford being a Democratic city. But even with that, we can see, you imagine if we here can see the effects of a demonic agenda, how much more they could see it in other places in the world. You go to California, or you go to Colorado, or you go to places that lean really hard left. I'm not pointing out any political, you know, giving any political credit here to one party. Both of them are corrupt and they're not the answer. And they've tried to give the answer, and they've thought it would be placed in a man or a party, and they've realized that's failed. And the world is losing their faith in God. Honestly, it's a faithless generation. And people may cling to religion and hold on to religion because of tradition, but really they've lost their faith in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is not regarded today, the Bible even, as a infallible book that's the source of all life. It's regarded as just religion. And when you have that, you get a world that's faithless. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the Word of God. So if you're not hearing the Word of God, how can you expect to have faith? That's how faith comes. So we have this title here today, and I got the remote here. Let me just turn it on. We have this title, Vexed by Sodom, and then I've subtitled this, Clean in a Dirty Age. And I'd like to look at what it means here to be clean amongst a dirty age. And I think that the question could be asked, you know, as we just go through this, as I asked the brothers yesterday, it's sort of a rhetorical question, but is it even possible to be clean in such a wicked world? Is it possible to have righteousness, to have a people that have zeal for the Lord in such a wicked age? Or, you know, or is it inevitable, you know, that the world's so dark and it's so dirty and it's so wicked that it's just, you know, we're going to have to sort of slide with the world. As they go down, we go down with it. And I think we know the answer to that question. It's not only possible to live holy and clean by the power of the Holy Spirit, but actually you're to be growing in holiness, growing in righteousness. Amen. And so I think when we look at here at Lot, I want to just point out a few things before we begin. The Bible uses a word here that I like to use, and I guess this doesn't work, Brother Joseph. Go to the next slide. I forgot this one's not connected to, I don't think, to ProPresenter. But the word, this is 2 Peter 2:7, the scripture that we read, and I want to teach on it just here for a moment. In verse 7, it says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." And so we look at this go to the next slide here. You went too far. Yep. So this word here, it's amazing because this is the word, the Greek word that is used here when it says here that he delivered just Lot. You just read that in verse 7. He delivered just Lot. And so this word that we find, let me find my place here in my notes. This word that we find for delivered means to draw oneself, to pull oneself, to rescue or to snatch up, to draw or rescue a person to and for the deliverer. Now, it's amazing because when you think about this here, this is a last ditch effort to save this individual. This is exactly what the Bible's saying. that God delivered. He snatched him out. And the picture that we had at the beginning will show you that. That the angel came to Lot and said, escape and come thither. You know, why won't you escape? You want to die here in the city. Go back, Brother Joe, one slide. Note to the word just. You should have a slide for the word just. Too far back. One more. So this is what the scripture means when it says that he was just. It doesn't mean just in the sense of only, but it says that he was a righteous man. So the Bible says that this is what this word means in Greek. It means right or judicial approval. Now, that's important because we know the story of Lot and we know how it goes that he would, he goes into complete sin. And we don't want to even get into that here today, but we know the way that Lot's life went, and it would be anything other than righteous. Amen. But what's important here is the Bible says he was just. In other words, he was judicially approved. Now, that approval came not by Lot, but by his association with an important man named Abraham. And so Lot's righteousness was attributed to him for the association being Abraham's family. We know that Lot lived with Abraham. He sojourned with Abraham. I would say he worshiped with Abraham. You know, he's seen how Abraham worshiped, and he knew that they had came out of Ur for a purpose. What was the purpose for leaving Ur? It wasn't just to go aimlessly on a journey. It was for a son. Amen, right? That was the purpose. Amen. You're to leave because your seed shall be more numerable than the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. And I'm going to bless thee. And through thy seed, Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, this was the purpose that God had in having Abraham and Lot leave Ur. So that purpose immediately, as we know, begins to fade from Lot's mind. I think that's very clear that you could see, and even in Lot, he's a righteous man. He's a just man. The Bible calls him a just man. I wrote it this way, and I believe it can have such an important significance. He's a righteous man living below what he knows is true. And it starts with a desire. It didn't start with a house in Sodom. Follow me here. Lot's story doesn't start in Sodom. And no one's story starts in Sodom. It ends in Sodom. And so it doesn't start there. It started with Abraham. It started as what the Bible calls, notice what Thayer says, he's approved by God, righteous, just in the eyes of God. So he's accounted, he's judicial. That's what justification, he's justified. It's a legal status. He's justified. He's considered righteous in the eyes of God. And so the Bible says here in 2 Peter 2:7, and God delivered just, righteous Lot. And so the Bible says that he had chosen. This is, remember, he didn't start in Sodom. He started with Abraham. And then you say, Brother Matt, how did he get from Abraham, dwelling with Abraham, with the purpose for a promised son to live in Sodom? And his life ends up at the gate of the city of Sodom. The Bible, that's what the Bible says in Genesis, says that he's sitting at the gate of Sodom. Now that has a significance. That means he has political status. When you dwell at the gate, that means you're considered a man with wisdom. Time gone by, you'd have the elder men, together. And there was wisdom in that, and there people would come to them for counsel. People would come to them, even the judges judicially had to be of a certain age. So you say, why is that significant? Because it tells you something about Lot, that he wasn't just a believer living in the world and is separated to himself, but he had immersed himself in Sodom culture. And so it's amazing here when you look at this. He starts with a desire. The Bible says it this way, and we're going to just save some time here because we're limited for time this morning. We're going to save some time in turning. I'm just going to quote it for you, paraphrase it. The Bible says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, that speaks of something. He's with Abraham. He's not in Sodom yet. He's not living there. Doesn't have a house. He's not at the gate. Back up. Rewind. He starts with his tent pitched towards Sodom. So, in other words, it's speaking of his heart, his affection. Right. He's longing for something. You following me? Right. He's desiring for the wrong thing. Whereas Abraham and Lot are physically together, their hearts could not be more contrary to each other. Abraham had a purpose. He knew his life had a purpose. He knew he was in life for a reason. And his reason wasn't worldly. His reason was for a promise from Jehovah. I hope you're catching it this morning. But yet Lot, though he's physically with him, though he's there in person, yet his heart was far away from that purpose. You know, many times people can associate with believers, physically be in church, but their heart is towards Sodom. We know Sodom being a type of the world, a type of the flesh. And so he's a righteous man, righteous by justification, living with his heart. And so Lot starts there. Well, anytime the heart turns towards something, eventually the feet follow. And it doesn't always happen overnight. Did you catch that? It always starts, your feet don't walk towards the world without first your heart turning to the world first. And there was a long period of time that Lot lived in church, sat in church, associated with Abraham, but his heart was already looking to something else. And eventually, his feet follows. And he says, I'm going to go dwell. And so Lot, you think about this just in retrospect, he chooses a city that is destiny is judgment. Its destiny is fire and brimstone. Its destiny is destruction. Fast forward the movie. You go to the end, before the credits. You have a city that's burning and on fire. This was the inevitable end of Sodom. Now let me just bring it to today. This nation has an end. Fast forward to the end. What did Brother Branham see? The last vision, he said the sixth vision, second to last, he said, was women and the morality, the degradation of the morals of a woman. He said it was a complete striptease to where she was just almost naked, had nothing on. Now, that's the words of a prophet in a vision. And that wasn't true in 1965. He might have thought it was. Brother Branham, even there in his own mind, thought it was true. My brother, my sister, we're seeing the fulfillment of that vision right here in 2020. The degradation, the morality, it was something of just like in the beginning and with Eve. Now in this last generation, Brother Aaron preaches a message, Satan's Eden. And he said, this is his Eden more than ever before. He says, you've seen the degradation, the morals, not just of women. That was symbolic, but it was the morality, the morals of the entire world had hit such a low ebb. Brother Brandon says, then the seventh vision, he said, I've seen America in ruins and ashes. He said, just smoldering like an atomic bomb had went off. So you say, Brother Matt, what is that? That's the end, the inevitable destiny for this nation, for this world. So I ask you, why would you ever choose to immerse yourself in this culture when the end is inevitable? Lot made a choice to associate. Now, I know that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we don't immerse ourselves in the culture. We're not like the rest of the world. We're pilgrims. We're Abraham's seed. Pilgrims, strangers. Lot chooses a city that's ultimate destination is destruction. It's judgment. And he says, this is where I'm gonna inhabit this place. I'm going to live here. I'm going to dwell here. And so, you know, this is exactly what happens is that The Bible says that it vexed his righteous soul. It's 10:50. We are not going to get anywhere near done this morning. And so go to the next slide, Brother Joe. This is what this word vex means. Now, notice this here. Now, remember, pause that if you could here for a moment. Go back to the word delivered, Brother Joe. We're not going to speed up. We're going to slow down here for a minute. I'm not going to get to where I wanted to go. So we're just going to go and we'll carry this on through another Sunday. So this word delivered, this is amazing because it, as we read it already, it means to be, I don't know how to pronounce that Greek word, but it means to be snatched. It's speaking of a last ditch effort. God makes a last ditch effort to save this man. Now, he lives there, and I don't know, the Bible doesn't go to what degree Lot became backslidden, Lot became lustful and sinful and sensual. I don't know. The Bible just says that he lives in Sodom. But here's what we know. He's a gatekeeper, as we said. He's a man of importance. He's, when the angel comes to him, he's sitting at the gate of the city. And so, but God makes a last-ditch effort to save this man right before destruction. I thought about that and thought, you know, if you're God's seed, God will make a last-ditch effort to save you before destruction. I'm glad for that kind of a mercy. And it may be your own life. It may be your last breath. It may be your deathbed. Whatever it takes, Brother Branham said it this way, God will get his man. So Peter uses this word and he says he delivered. He delivered him. So God reaches into the sewer of Sodom and he pulls this man out. He snatches him out. Jude speaks of this and says, save them. And he says, snatch them, snatching them, rescuing them. That's the word, rescue them from the fire, but don't have your garments spotted with the world. And so he snatches Lot and his family out right before judgment strikes Sodom. And so Lot is so spiritually, his conscience is so spiritually seared. You know that because the angel has to repeat it multiple times. Says escape, go read Luke, I think it's chapter 7. Says escape and come. The angel said escape and come thither. And the Bible says count yourself, be ready, be sober at all times. It says that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things, all the judgments, and stand before the Son of Man. It's a reference to this Luke. It's a reference to Lot here, and the Son of Man had revealed himself to Abraham already in the form of Melchizedek. And so Lot is, the Bible says, the angel said, escape and come thither. And he's so seared. Angel has to repeat it and finally just snatch him out, snatch his family. And even the effects of so went into his own wife, his mate, that she turns her back. And we know the story. She turns back and looks at Sodom and turns to a pillar of salt. And so he's literally... The Bible has this way to point it out, that he's drug out of Sodom. He's drug out of it. He was so entangled. This is exactly what Sodom does. This is exactly what the world does. It's like a vine. It just attaches itself. And you're so attached, you're not thinking straight. And he's saying, hey, Lot, come on. What are you doing? God's about to destroy this city. So he this word here, he delivered him. I want you to catch that. It's to snatch up, to draw or rescue a person to and for the deliverer there. You know, if God would not have intervened, Lot would have stayed and died in this city. Amen. If God had intervened. And so he saves him. He pulls him. We don't want to cover that again. Now, I want you to catch this here. The next word there, vex, Brother Joe. Look in your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Let's read it one more time. It says, and delivered just Lot. It snatched just, righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And so the Bible says Lot was vexed. This word vexed is extremely important. And we're just going to take a pause here. But it's extremely important because it's the Greek word, and this may be, I don't speak Greek, so it may be pronounced wrong, kataponeo. is the Greek word, and I didn't have the lexicon. I used a different one there, so you're actually seeing the Greek. It's the present passive participle. It means to tire down. Now, notice this. It means to tire down. So when it, remember, before you read this, think in your mind, it vexed his righteous soul. When you think of vex, you've maybe often thought of, oh, Lot just went, oh man, this world's just so bad. Oh, I'm just so grieved by all the sin. That's not at all what it means when it says Lot's soul was vexed. It means that Lot's righteousness, whatever he had gained with Abraham, whatever he had learned with Abraham, whatever spirituality he had garnered for himself, whatever he went in Sodom with, the zeal, the passion. Brother Branham said he was a pastor of a church. Whatever zeal he had by immersing himself in the culture of Sodom, it had worn him out. It had tired him down. Look at this. Exhaust with labor, to afflict or oppress with evil, to make trouble for, to treat roughly. He had battered this man Lot. It had vexed his righteous soul. That katapaneo is a compound word of the Greek word kata and the Greek word paneo. The word kata means total dominance or total control. And so it carries the idea of domination. Paneo means to work to the point of exhaustion. So when you put those two words, you have this word, a compound word here, which means total and complete exhaustion. Like after work, you're just completely exhausted. This is the description of Lot. He had so immersed himself and he was so vexed with Sodom, it had taken all of the righteousness out of him. Amen. Stand to your feet. We're going to stop there, pick it up. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for this morning service. Lord, for those that, Lord, will hear this by way of archive. Lord, those that have gathered here today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask now, God, that you would take these things, Lord. May it challenge us, Lord. May it prick our conscience, Lord. Fathers, that's what your Bible says, Lord, that it would stir us up. Lord, and may it stir us this morning, fathers. We think about these things we've heard. Lord, bless this service now, God. May your presence just be in this building, be in the music and the singing, Lord, and the worship for all that you're going to do today. We came with expectation. Now, Lord, we invite you to come in Jesus' name. Amen.